This is a Crowd podcast.
Neil Redfern. Played for Barnsley, Charlton, Bradford, and literally every team in Yorkshire. Over 1,000 career appearances, 200 goals scored, briefly managed Leeds United, and now manager of Sheffield United Women, plus author. But let's see what the book club thought of his book, There's Only One, Neil Redfern, £2.69 plus P&P, on this week's Football Book Club.
But basically, I've fallen in love with Neil Redfern.
They also gave his wife a job as the accountant.
Oh, Mum, you are a funny bunny.
If this is the defrosted turkeys anecdote, I'm up for it.
Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Beatrix Potter, more Graham Potter. I'm James Bug, and over the weeks, we'll be reading classics such as Limboy Primus's... We're in. We are in. Over the weeks, we'll be reading classics such as Linvoy Primus's Transformed and Rohan Ricketts's children's series, The Adventures of Roro. But today, we're reading Neil Redfern's 2006 book, There's Only One Neil Redfern, and reading with me, Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
Natasha Daniels.
Hello.
And please welcome the brilliant comedian, Ivo Graham.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. It's genuinely such a pleasure to be doing this.
Oh, and thank you for coming on.
I've got to ask... Beatrix Potter, Graham Potter. Is there a different version of that every episode?
Yeah, there is, and it's getting harder and harder.
I can't even do one off the top of my head, which is ludicrous.
If you go back, that we've really forced them. Times.
We once on the way back from a gig spent like the whole journey back trying to do them.
Trying to think of loads of them. That served us well. We had a very boring journey back from Southampton. And we used our time well.
I don't mind it at all.
Thank you. We'll keep it.
Yeah, no, I'm not giving it my seal of approval. I'm aware this is a well-oiled show. It's just a sincere compliment.
You know, you're giving congrats. It your seal of approval like Neil Redfern gives David Beckham at one point in the book. He goes, you know what? Beckham was an all right player.
Yeah. It ends a chapter. It's like the final twist at the end of a chapter about actually he'd always thought he was a fancy Dan. And then what is the game? It's like the FA Cup match against Barnsley.
Yes.
And Beckham puts in like a slightly more tough tackling shift. And Redfern's like, fair enough.
Fair play. Right, he's a good player. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
More than just free kicks and Spice Girls.
Very strange. So, as we've mentioned, we're doing Neil Redfern's book. We gave you a bunch of options for books, Ivo. Why Neil Redfern?
I loved the list.
Thank you.
And it was a hard... it was a hard choice, but also... a choice which I made quite quickly and arbitrarily. I didn't know what I thought the sort of tone would be, obviously, without having read the book. I suspected that, obviously, a lot of these things are exercises in sort of slightly partridgey, self-important autobiographical narratives.
Very much.
And so I was sort of trying to guess who might have been the most self-important. But I was also approaching it with a caution, and my, is this blown up in my face? That I might either, if I didn't already respect the footballer, and there were a few on the list that I had too much respect to even consider doing them on this podcast.
Right.
If I didn't, that I might read
Darren
the book
Huckabee.
And then. Huckabee was obviously the main one. he's been through it. But that Redfern might like. But basically, I've fallen in love with Neil Redfern. I thought his book would be funny, and in both a good and a bad way, it isn't. the attempts at humour don't really come off, but nor do I want to laugh at him at all, because he's such an incredibly respectable sportsman and family man. I'll talk about that in great detail over the next hour.
It's very hard to disagree. Guys, do you have any strong opinions on Neil Redfern before you read the book?
No.
I sort of forgot who he played for. I was like, oh, Neil Redfern... Yeah, like when he played for Bradford, I was like, yep, that makes sense, sure. But if you'd told me, oh yeah, Neil Redfern, he played for Stockport and, oh God, think of other northern teams.
Oh, jeez. Ivo, pressure's on you for the next hour to carry this along. Okay, over the show, we're going to be going into more depth about the book. We'll be doing a dramatic reading, a quiz at the end, and Ken is back with another song. But first, how are we all doing, guys? All good? We keep him well?
Yeah, pretty good. I've had an interesting week with my dog this week.
Oh, please tell.
My dog got a hangover this week. That's pretty good. Yeah. I took him for a walk and he got off in a farmer's field and he ate loads of rotten fruit and he got pissed and then had a hangover for 2 days. So that was quite fun.
That's if I had read that, in Chris Kamara's book a couple of weeks ago. I would have flagged that as the weirdest part of the book. So,
What sort of symptoms was it? Does a dog hangover entail?
He was sort of dry heaving and standing there wobbling. Very similar to myself, actually.
Very similar. Yeah.
So there you go. That's been the highlight of my lockdown week.
Any vomit?
A small amount, but he did eat it afterwards, so...
God, this is the worst start to the podcast ever. Stop.
Why did you ask how we are?
Oh, no, be quiet.
You knew this was going to happen.
We've not been doing anything.
Ivo, first of all, may I apologise on behalf of these two. You're a guest on our show, and we shouldn't be talking about this. But Ivo, as far as I can tell, through a lot of lockdown, I mean this. I don't mean this as a slam, but it seems like you've been playing a lot of Football Manager.
Right. I haven't played any Football Manager. I've been playing FIFA.
FIFA.
So to be
FIFA.
Incredibly pedantic.
Apologies, that is the one I meant.
That's absolutely so.
I know games.
I sort of came back at you there like it was Frost Nixon or something.
Well,
manager.
Give nothing away. Come on.
I was very aggressive with the way I asked the question in the first place.
Frost Nixon or Simon the tech guy in the office. I haven't spent lockdown having a career as a manager on Football Manager. I have spent untold amount of hours on FIFA doing it.
Do you play exclusively as your team, Swindon, on there?
Well, I got fired as Swindon manager last week, so I'm now managing Harrogate Town.
Congratulations.
But that was because... So Swindon are in a relegation battle at the moment. And not doing a huge amount of battling. We are put all of your money on Swindon being relegated from League One.
This is in real life?
In real life.
Okay, not betting on your FIFA.
So, don't bet on
Ladbrokes aren't accepting bets. So I thought, because I'd had a previous Swindon career which was going too well, I was finding it too easy. I was signing a lot of old Swindon players. It was a sort of Harlem Globetrotters, sort of best of the last 10 years, march up the divisions. And then I thought, no, I want to identify with the real life struggle of Swindon to stay in League One. God, I'm sounding both so pathetic and so boring.
It's my best hope,
I suppose, is that I'm sort of so pathetic that it's not boring, but that's an incredibly sort of bleak aim for an anecdote.
That's actually what we do. That's what I say to everyone on the podcast before we start. That's a good balance to get.
I hope people are sort of transfixed by pity rather than just sort of numbed by tedium. So I've been able to sort of do tweets about how it's going very badly for me in tandem with how it's going badly for Swindon in real life as well. But I have now been sacked and I'm managing Harrogate Town in the division below.
Oh.
And I'm thinking of stopping playing FIFA.
Ending it all.
Ivor, you mentioned before there was something which set you off as a Swindon fan in this book.
Well, because Swindon's manager in real life, not Ivor Graham, they're being married by John Sheridan, who... We had a terrific manager who got us promoted last season from League Two, and we were hoping to sustain that momentum, and there were even whispers of double promotion. Ooh. Instead, Richie Wellens was poached by Salford City. He played for Man United, sort of youth team, and I think the prospect of being reunited with the Nevilles and the rest of the Class 92, it was too powerful. I understand that. He gave a couple of interviews about loyalty, which then left a sour taste when he didn't show any. But I respect it. What's sad is that he was replaced by the ultimate lower league, uninspiring clogger manager, a man who had John Sheridan, who's played for a lot of teams, managed a lot of teams, but not emerged with any real triumph from his managerial career in recent years. But John Sheridan is mentioned in Neil Redfern's book, as is anyone who was connected with football between 1985 and the year 2000. But John Sheridan's brother... is shamed, you might almost say, for not giving Neil Redfern petrol money when Redfern was giving him lifts. I can't remember which club it's at, but it's added just a final piece of my hatred of John Sheridan puzzle. Is that his brother is a sort of lift money dodger on top of everything else. A rotten family, rotten to the core.
Let's see what Amazon is saying about Neil Redfern's book. So the book has 3.7 stars from 10 reviews. Not too many people have read the book, it seems. But there's this 3-star review from a Mr. Shaw called Relegation Specialist Delivers Fitfully Entertaining Autobiography. Ouch. And it is very comprehensive, I'll tell you that. One of the upsides, brackets, well, pretty much the only upside, brackets, of Borders' descent into liquidation and oblivion was the opportunity it provided me to go wild in the aisles and off my trolley and pick up loads of heavily discounted books.
Wow.
There's only one Neil Redfern was one such book. Originally purchased as a joke present for my brother, I decided to read it before passing on as a gift. Did I enjoy it? Hmm. And that's her.
Hang on, so pretty much. He bought it in person and then went on Amazon to review it.
Yeah, that's very strange. Yeah,
that is a great spot.
I hadn't noticed that. That is very strange. I mean, everything's very odd. But
also, that's like a classic Edinburgh review thing where the first three quarters of that review are not at all about the book.
Yeah.
And the last sentence. It's like most Edinburgh reviews that I would get would always be like, I was walking towards the venue and I saw a pigeon. It was quite interesting. So not good.
I was gutted when I learned that Fest had only bought tickets to my show as a joke present for their brother, but had decided to turn up themselves just out of curiosity.
Did I enjoy it?
What did you guys think of the book in general? Ivor, as you're a guest, I think you've already kind of pretty much told us, but you loved it, right?
I did love it. I think I came away from it with a huge respect for the man. I think it is hard, as with quite a lot of these sort of ironic pursuits or sort of slightly eccentric career, diversions, to separate sort of real enjoyment of Neil Redfern's autobiography from being amused by the fact that I'm reading Neil Redfern's autobiography.
Yes.
There were lots of points where I just thought, I can't believe I'm doing this. Aren't I wacky? Isn't it a wacky life that I've fallen into? So that doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy it in and of itself, but I don't, you know, for example, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone else, I don't think.
No.
Other than maybe a Barnsley fan, because I think some of the ways he talks about Barnsley is quite moving.
Or if you like any Yorkshire lower league football, I think you would enjoy it. It's very comprehensive.
You know what? Actually, I take that back. Yeah. If someone was into lower league football or from Yorkshire, or ideally both, there's so much. Then there's little tourist things at the world. At the end, his description of a day out to Bolton Abbey.
Oh, right at the end. That broke my heart.
It's just lovely.
I didn't remember that at all.
He says at the end, he says, you don't need fame or fortune to enjoy a day out at Bolton Abbey in the Yorkshire Dales.
Oh, yes. Just 10 quid
of petrol in the tank and enough in your pocket to get a bite to eat. The fresh air and the fun are free.
What really impresses me is you're not even reading that off notes, as far as I can tell. That's in your head.
Oh. You've tattooed that on your arm.
Listen, I'm looking forward to being 80 years old and looking down at my arm and seeing the quote, the fresh air and the fun are free.
I feel like I'm a devil's advocate a bit here. I didn't dislike it. I liked it. However, so what I thought was, in many ways, the book's a bit audacious. So for a man whose main achievement seemed to be that he played 1,000 games and Wenger once called him a cheat, there's a lot of stuff in the book.
Okay.
He manages to kind of pad that out for a... Sorry, I know that I was trying really hard not to get too annoyed.
I'm interested.
Well, the atmosphere's changed, hasn't it?
Jesus. I loved it. My favourite book ever.
No. There is an interesting mix of self-deprecation and self-promotion in the book.
Mm.
And he's not completely without ego, but who amongst us is? And I thought about the 1,000 things a lot, because it is, you know, that's the first thing you sort of see when you're sort of reading the blurb on the back. But that is an achievement.
Don't get me wrong. And it means that he's actually got stories to tell in some way. He's got a lot of clubs
It is amazing how few stories this man has to tell, given that he's played a thousand matches of football.
At the end, he's talking... in the sort of roundup, there's a final sort of chapter about how football's changed a bit. And then, like, there's a funny anecdote about a funny player he used to play with who once, he hated getting substituted so much.
Yes.
And so he just took the number 11 from that non-electronic board and threw it over the stand, out of the stadium. And that's not really relevant to the book at all. It's like he's panicked in the last chapter. And you're like, I don't know if I've made it clear that I've hung out with some very funny footballers.
Let's get into the book. So as we've mentioned, we're right in with football in this. There's not really much stuff about him being young. He's like 15 or so at Nottingham Forest as a trainee. Mm. We've mentioned his ego right at the beginning. We had Paddy Kenny on the show, Ivo, last series. Mm. And do you remember what he said about Neil Redfern, who managed him at Leeds?
Is this an outside of the book anecdote, you mean?
No. This was on the podcast. This was on the podcast. He came on and we talked to him about Neil Redfern. He described him as a whopper. When he came on the show, he said the man loves himself, I think was the gist. So I went into the book very much with that opinion. And on the second page,
that makes
he
sense.
Immediately goes, he's very much, he kind of got that arrogance across. The second page, worst game when we've lost and I've played badly. It hasn't happened often. That kind of thing, I was immediately, I was like, okay, I see what this guy's going to be like. And then there was the De Beckham stuff we've mentioned. And then there's the sly digs at Nigel Clough and stuff like
he's
that.
He's a great right? dig at Nigel Clough.
Yeah, he really gets annoyed. He's like, Nigel Clough wasn't that good at football. We were all surprised when he made it.
He's also like, he said like, just Brian Clough managed the whole team around him.
That was it.
What are you just talking
about?
Just
his dad managed him. If my dad managed Forest, we'd have won the Champions League twice as well. The moment, however, that won me over, and I know exactly the moment I started liking him, and it is to do with animals. Page 49, he reveals that he named his dogs after Dee Dee and Dexter in Dexter's Lab. I was like, I can't dislike this guy. How can you possibly dislike him?
That was such a great moment. Because also, he'd previously named his dog, like, Soonus.
Yeah, so let's, like, his let's first less dog about was that, cool. the better.
But he was like, Soonus, cool, good. And the next one, Dee Dee and Dexter. Cool. Dexter's Lab.
That's a man whose, like, daughters have grown up and started to, like, have a voice at the table. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
In a way, though, that made me quite... I mean, that's quite sweet, isn't it? I really enjoyed that idea that it was, like, clearly these are his kids' dogs. And he's like, yeah, okay, sure, we'll call them what you want to call them. It's great.
I totally agree. And he goes into quite a lot of depth on all the pets he's ever owned. And there's a lot of charming anecdotes throughout the book that don't really go anywhere. I know, Jack, that you noticed this a lot.
Oh, man. There are so many great, terrible anecdotes. That he just, I think it's as Ivo says, he just seems to be like, he knows he's had 1,000 games, and yet he seems to have no good chat. No, like, no good chat whatsoever.
Oh, Ivo really is flinching. Struggles.
No, I don't mind it. I'm just sort of thinking, are my anecdotes good enough? Are my anecdotes good enough to stick the boot into Neil Redfern's anecdotes here?
I mean, Ivo, you started this podcast very boldly with chat about your Swindon...
And that went on for ages. And for a long time there. And
I'm going to clip them next to each other.
How dare I? Because I do think, like, you know, you're like, oh, sportsmen are boring. It's like, yeah, but they're good at sport. And yes. Which inspires, like, that. I would swap my dismal comedy achievements to be a lower league footballer in a heartbeat.
I agree.
Of course.
But Jack, were there any anecdotes that stood out in particular to you?
Yeah, I mean, there are quite a lot of just very mild anecdotes. There's the time Brian Clough told him to stop biting his nails.
A classic.
The time he accidentally found out he was good at cross-country because he was cold, so decided to run quickly.
The worst origin story of all time.
Just remarkable. As a story, it is like, I was running, I was at the back, I was cold, decided to run a bit faster, I won.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah.
I mean, I have many more, but yes, my favourite was probably the time Neil Redfern got a gold card at McDonald's. And...
The Nandos of the 90s, right?
Oh boy,
was it. And then tried to use it in a place that wasn't Barnsley.
And yes.
The confusion that...
So this
that
is when he's at Barnsley Football Club, right? He's given that. All the Barnsley players are given that. And yeah, from memory, he goes to Huddersfield? Is that right?
He goes to Huddersfield and tries to use the gold card, and it causes chaos.
Yeah.
There's chaos behind the till. No one knows what's going on. They're like, what is this? And he has to explain.
There's great bit. She says that the Huddersfield McDonald's cashier, as I think of her, for that's what she is. She says... this is the first I've heard of these gold cards. And he says, well, it would be. This is Huddersfield, and Premiership footballs are a bit thin on the ground. Yeah. And Neil, he acknowledges, he says, that went down like a lead balloon.
Also didn't happen.
She was a very big... It did happen. How dare you, it happened.
I'm sorry, Ivo. I'll be more trusting. Carry on.
It's just, I mean, the I would say the defining sentence of the book for me is... I had to explain once more that this was a McDonald's gold card, a special deal for Premiership footballers, and I was Neil Redfern from Barnsley Football Club.
Oh, he's a player. He kind of plays at Forest and Lincoln, Doncaster. Do we all kind of enjoy
those
moments?
Yeah, his time at Doncaster was my favourite section of the whole book. It was about two pages of him discussing his relationship with his wife at the club. And
yes.
Do you remember what happened when he joined? They also gave his wife a job as the accountant.
Yeah, and that was kind of part of his contract or something,
yeah.
Right? That was part of the agreement, yeah.
Can you imagine any wag today getting given the part of an accountant at a team. Like, what?
I'm not sure it would be the greatest idea.
No, but Sue seems like a stand-up gal. I mean, she let him take the silver out of the take-ins at the bar to go and buy some new football boots one day, which I thought was pretty sound of her.
Very true.
That was another pretty interesting but not great anecdote. Yeah.
One of those ones where you think it's going to go somewhere, but, oh, what's going to happen? And I spent it and I was very responsible.
That one is particularly because it's like, and then the cashier saw us and he was like, whoa, what are you doing here? And then I bought the boots.
With a load of 10p's.
I love his relationship with Sue, and he's very discreet about it. You don't hear that much. You learn that he meets her at Bradford Interchange when, and I've been looking forward to doing this, she was working as a cashier at WH Smith. And then there's a lovely bit where he comments like one club later that she was getting promoted faster than he was.
I really enjoyed that subplot of her rise up.
Who's going to make it to the top faster, Neil or Sue? But then Neil, like all great men, stunts his wife's career to help his own. And he brings her in temporarily at Donny, but that's just a short-term move. Then he's going to take her to London, knock her up, and that's it. She's just Neil Redfern's wife.
He takes her to Ongar in Essex, and being from Essex, he says she picks up a London accent in Ongar. I don't know how that happens.
Are you talking about the daughter? The two daughters. There's Amy.
Yeah, picking up a London accent. Someone gets a London accent from like mid Essex. I don't know quite how that happens.
But he describes how he found out that Amy had a London accent by saying that Amy was being tickled by by Sue, like on a. Do you remember this? On a sofa, and Amy then turned to her at one point, having been like laughing, turned to her and went, "Oh, Mum, you are a funny bunny."
And he was like, London saying.
He was like, "Oh my God, London child, get away!
The metropolitan elite in my own home."
Dad, what's wrong?
I think the North-South thing, because he gets called Casper after a character in Kez when he's at Crystal Palace. So I think both the North and the South are sort of painting fairly broad brushstrokes of each other.
Yes,
that's true.
I think you're right.
Normally when we read these books and someone's Northern, they're like, oh, thank God I got out of this shithole. But he was very proud of being Northern for once, which is quite nice to read.
He goes back to the North after kind of a doomed stint at Crystal Palace. I think he goes to Barnsley pretty much straight after that.
Yeah,
I think.
And never leaves again,
He
never leaves the North.
I mean, he goes from Crystal Palace to Watford, to Oldham, and then to Barnsley.
It's so hard to keep track, I'm so sorry, but thankfully. But at Barnsley, we have another one of these anecdotes that kind of don't really go anywhere. Well, I say that. I think it's time for this week's dramatic reading. Can somebody cue the dramatic music, please?
Cue dramatic music.
Ivo, if you
music.
Want to. Oh. Okay, don't let Ivo do it. Thanks, Tash.
Come on, we got to pick up the pace.
This dramatic reading is called Neil Redfern Celebrates Christmas Slightly Early. Okay.
I like this anecdote. If this is the defrosted turkeys anecdote, I'm up for it.
It might be.
You don't know. There might be another story.
Let's wait and see. Every year, for instance, we received a frozen turkey at Christmas. Although one festive season, when finances were tight, we had to settle for a capon. We said that if we were down to a chicken the following year, we'd call in the PFA.
I really like that joke, but I also think he's not kidding.
I think he does get quite angry with things sometimes.
Sue would definitely have budgeted for turkeys, I reckon.
No, they would have. You'd get all your petty cash, go down to the turkey farm.
Barnsley's loss was WH Smith's gain. So the turkeys were usually delivered late morning, a week or 10 days before Christmas, and left in the supporters' club bar, which is always cool. I think he means cool as in cold, because it was only used on match days and the radiator turned off for the rest of the time. Yes, he does mean cold.
Oh, but also the vibe was pretty
The vibe was pretty sweet
chill.
In Barnsley.
It was a pretty sweet vibe in the Barnsley club bar.
The players would just be finishing training when the birds arrived, and he doesn't mean that in a footballer sense, and after a pot of tea and a shower together, we'd go along to the bar to collect our Christmas dinner. One year, things didn't go according to plan. Here we go. The birds were delivered first thing in the morning, way ahead of schedule, and before most of the players had arrived. And it was a particularly cold day. Anyone who's spent some time at Oakwell on a cold winter's day, will know how will know how inhospitable that can be. The central heating under the stand was on foot. We can skip this bit, I think. It's just about central heating. Oh, yeah, you're right.
But that's the key.
You're right. I am skipping too far. The central heating.
God, imagine if we just skip to the end now.
Long story short, the central heating under the stand was on full bore, and as luck would have it, no one remembered to turn off the radiators in the supporters bar.
Oh.
It was like a... You see where this is going. It was like a furnace in there, and the frozen birds didn't stand a chance. Here we go. The mood changed when they returned to the dressing room empty-handed. Where's your turkeys then?
I love the idea of the mood changing as if there's been like a yeah. death in the family. Like, lads, where's your turkeys? There'll be no turkeys this year. What? It's really, like, it's a real moment of drama.
It's very Dickensian, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it is very true.
sorry, now I've got an image of Neil Redfern sticking his head out the window.
Christmas goose.
Yeah. Get me the one that's as big as John
Christmas
Sheridan.
Goose for no one. The mood changed when they returned to the dressing room empty-handed. Where's your turkeys then? I don't know who's asking that question. There's no one who's giving an indication who's asking that. That is a very odd question in isolation. Running around in the bloody bar. They've thawed out, I'm assuming, Neil says. The news was greeted with a stunned silence. None of us were Gordon Ramsay, exactly, although I went back...
Gordon Ramsay would know what to do with a thawed turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they call him up? Like, Gordon, yeah. Hi!
Quick question. You know the Barnsley central heating? Well, it's usually like that.
Usually a pretty cool bar.
Yeah. But we knew enough about the risks of salmonella poisoning to know the refrozen turkeys can be bad news for the family at Christmas. With over a week to go before the big day, the birds currently warming up nicely in the bar were going to well past their best by the time Christmas morning came round. We had no choice. We took them home, had an early Christmas dinner, and made hurried plans to find a replacement the next day.
Oh.
What a dramatic reading.
Very dramatic.
Well, that is a dramatic reading because he doesn't tell us. He says we made hurried plans to, you know, to find a bird for the future, but he doesn't tell us if he did.
Yeah. That could easily have. I think that's what the story needed to go on for another three pages.
I would like to know that. What did Neil Redfern have on. What did he eat on Christmas Day 1998? What did he eat? So, one thing I found quite. Interesting and sort of surprising early on in the book, and as I said, I took an immediate liking to Neil Redfern from the start, from his earnest desire to do well and to work hard, and it doesn't seem like a man sort of with too much ego. But then when things start happening for him, he kind of sabotages his first few sort of club careers. So there's three clubs in a row where basically he falls out with the manager because he's getting subbed a bit too much. Not even, like, getting left out of the team. He's getting taken off. So,
we have not had a player who hates being subbed as much as Neil Redfern.
Redfern wants to play 46 games a season, and he wants to play it not just in central midfield, but in an attacking central midfield role where he can score goals, and he wants to play the 90 minutes. That is all he asks, and it is actually quite a lot. That's all he asks from every manager.
Build the entire team around him, drive him into the ground. That's what he wants.
Like Nigel Clough. That's it. Like Brian did for Nigel.
He just wants to be Brian Clough's child. Oh, that's all he wants, really.
Wow, that is a sad way of reading the book, but maybe you're right.
By the way, you said that there was an underwhelming anecdote about Brian Clough. I think the anecdote about Brian Clough using a coat hanger to open his dad's friend's locked car is a very charming vignette, actually.
I have to say that all of these anecdotes that are quite dull are also incredibly charming.
Yes.
There's another one where he nearly runs out of petrol going to Carlisle. Yes. Not actually runs out of petrol. Nearly.
I couldn't believe that. It's like, done then, is it?
Yeah.
On to the next one. Also, there's a really funny thing about the Carlisle thing. He talks about Carlisle like it is the end of the world, like the end of the earth, basically. And he does exactly the same thing when he says something like, I wanted to go somewhere where I could ignore football and people don't understand it. So I went to Scotland. He does that every single off-season. Just goes to Scotland because he thinks they won't care.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't get it over there.
No idea who he is.
It's very charming. He goes to Scotland the day after losing the playoff final with,
yes.
I think it's Wigan. And he says that heads off immediately afterwards. And he says he's not going to think about the result from midday the next day. That's like that's it. That's his rule. He's not going to allow himself to be depressed in front of his wife and daughters from midday.
Yeah,
I think it's quite, again,
comics sometimes refer to as. I think it's often attributed to Sarah Millican. I don't know if she said it on a sort of early podcast. The Millican rule, where you don't think about your gigs, good or bad, after 11 a.m. the next day. And that's how you stop yourself becoming too arrogant or too self-hating. And it was nice to see Neil Redfern keeping to the same rule about a lower league playoff final.
Do you think it worked? Do you think people can actually do that, turn their brain off the next day? And this isn't a funny point. I'm just generally interested if someone can do that.
I think some people can. I live in a cauldron of regret all of the time. I'm still thinking about talking about playing FIFA too long earlier.
To be fair, you'll be thinking about that till 11 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And only because I'll be playing FIFA all the way through the night. I've got to get Harrogate into League One. So with Redfern, it's kind of like, it's just a bit of a shame because you start to root for him as he gets these, you know, increasingly high profile, like he signs for Crystal Palace after a thrilling meeting with Steve Coppell at Toddington Services. And then like, and he's surrounded by legends at Crystal Palace, but then it doesn't work out because he's not playing central midfield enough times. And then at Watford, a similar thing happens. And there's this quite bitter point. I think it's with Watford where he watches a replay of a goal he scored. He watches with Sue a replay of a Watford match where he scores a goal. But all he's focused on is when the camera cuts to the bench, he sees the manager not celebrating.
Oh,
and that's like his final proof that he's not being supported at Watford. And he quotes his imagination of the manager's internal monologue as being, why did it have to be him? Is that really what the manager's thinking?
Yeah.
At Watford, he hands in so many transfer requests that he's paying, and he says that he has to pay for registered to send transfer requests by registered post, and he's doing it twice a week, and he makes a little Neil Redfern joke about how much all of these impatient transfer requests are costing him, which is such an amazing like admin insight, but also well, just play for Watford for 75 minutes a game then for a bit. Come on.
It's actually you raise a good point in that he says he can. When we said that he might just be able to forget football at midday the next day, he hasn't forgotten about like petty fallouts from 25 years before. So never going to happen at that time. So I dread to think how long you'll be thinking about FIFA for, Ivo. To be honest,
yeah. I'm not at Redfern levels of obsession.
And there'll be loads more Neil Redfern chat after the break.
Welcome along to a brand new podcast called 21st Century Football, a complete guide, well, so far that is. This podcast is all about celebrating the best of the world's most beautiful game, but only if it happened in the 21st century. This series is all about championing the greatest footballers of the last 20 years. Each week we'll have a variety of hosts, including YouTube star Statman Dave, Stephen Tries.
Got that underwear range.
You've got a pair on now, haven't you, Stephen?
No. I soiled mine this morning.
And myself, Will Brazier, will also feature radio legend Adam Brown. Find us on your regular podcasting sites, as well as our brand new YouTube channel. Search 21st Century Football. It sound right, boy.
Welcome back, guys. So I wanted to move our attention to the philosophy of Neil Redfern. I wonder if we can play some philosophical music. Something a bit, you know.
What are you talking? What's philosophical music?
Something like some little like brisk classical music or sort. Not heavy classical, as Neil Redfern says he doesn't like. At one point, Neil Redfern says he hates heavy classical music. I was like, what the hell is heavy classical?
Just some light Vivaldi. That was such a great moment. Yeah. I'm afraid I'm not enough of a connoisseur of classical music to know that there's such a thing as like heavy classical.
I don't think Neil is either, to be honest. Yeah.
I'm imagining the idea of just a guy coming in, kicking over a stage. Let's fucking do it!
Neil Redfern would be the first, and indeed only person, to say that you won't be seeing him down the proms. So he only listens to it to relax to. But that, to be honest, that comes quite late, and there's so much talk of motorways and car journeys and stuff. And I was starting to be like, if Neil Redfern doesn't tell us what he listens to on the motorway, I am going to feel quite shortchanged. And then right at the end, it's like non-heavy classical music. Great, on we go.
But away from music, he asks himself a lot of philosophical questions in the book. Questions like, why do we swear with a male referee in charge when we can discipline ourselves not to swear in front of a woman?
Absolutely love it.
Very wise. I think that's in relation to female referees. But then also there's things like he muses about religion. At one point.
This is great.
Yeah.
I could have this tattooed on my arm, let me tell you.
Neil says, I don't know whether or not there's a God, but I believe in good. I tried to bring up my family in the right way and to treat other people with respect. It's a long tattoo.
Can I just say, the good is, the G in good is capitalised to really ram home that it's like, this is both cast iron, like, way to live your life. And it's also superb wordplay. Do I believe in God? No. But I do believe in the word God with an extra O in it, which you might have noticed says good.
He's underlined it, done it in bold. Yeah.
I've underlined it.
I read that and I had to close the book and just take a minute.
To do a good deed. To do an atheist good deed.
Also, it's really funny that context of that, because it's when he's talking about Darren Moore being a born-again Christian. And he's like, he basically gives Darren Moore permission to be Christian. He goes fair play to him. If he wants to believe in God, good for him. He's like, cheers. Yeah, Darren was waiting for that. The big question is, as Neil Redfern the manager, would I sign the young Neil Redfern?
I love this question so much.
No one's asked themselves that question in the books, I don't think.
This is
so
like the thing of like one hand clapping. It's genuinely like an existential crisis that he asks himself here.
Yes.
And he really goes into it. Like,
massively.
He really starts to push the idea of it. He's like, well, Neil Redfern, the player, would be angry that he wasn't playing that much, but Neil Redfern, the manager, would coax him and calm him, and he would know that he's got a special player on his hands. It's beautiful.
It does, but then it gets weird. After all that kind of bit, he says, if I rubbed him the wrong way, he'd have a headache. I could always get rid of him if things didn't work out. If Count Dracula was the best striker in the world, a guaranteed 30 goals a season man, I'd sign him. It might upset people. Why have you brought in Dracula? But it would be up to me to find a way to make people like him for as long as I needed him. When it served his purpose, I'd move him on.
Where would you move him back to
Transylvania, I guess.
Ship him off.
That's Neil Redfern clutching at like an evil person for him, hypothetically, to sign anyway. Who's the most evil person? Well, it's Dracula, obviously.
But who would upset people? Are you going to be really upset?
Fans on the Bloody Facebook Neil. Page like, I'm boycotting. While Dracula's playing, I'm not going.
And then Dracula wins them over with like a particularly good social media post. And they're like, I'm not even a fan of Dracula, but fair play. That is class. Also, very quickly, Dracula would be rubbish at being a striker because he hates crosses.
Very true.
That's very really true. Good. And the rest of us should hang our heads in shame.
As the book kind of goes on, he somehow becomes even more of a journeyman. And Ivo, I know you had some strong feelings on this as a touring comic. I'm not calling you a journeyman by any means.
Oh, I'm very much a journeyman. I'm a space...
Keep falling out with managers.
Because they won't let me do the full 20 minutes. They keep taking me off after 18 at every set. I think that anything with a lot of service stations and motorways is highly relatable stuff. And I think we've got three. So I think we've got Toddington, where he has his thrilling, like sort of like Yalta conference level, like meeting with Steve Coppell, Ferry Bridge, and then you have Woolly Edge, which is of particular closeness to my heart because I once ate half a box of Krispy Kremes there with my friend Alex Keeley after a tour show in Leeds. It's kind of, and as I've already said, like, you're wondering what he's listening to. You're wondering who's paying for the petrol. Not John Sheridan's brother. There's quite a long explanation, and it brings you back to this quite 90s sort of pre Major League Football sort of money thing of like reflecting on the fact that there's a little bit of financial jeopardy to Neil Redfern's life again in his sort of mid late 30s. Not just to the clubs he's playing for who are on the brink of administration, but like despite his 3 years in the Premier League, it made me think. This is a real guy driving down the motorway, trying to pick up as many friends as he can to sort of to make the journey as efficient as possible, listening to Vivaldi.
And a lot of the book is on the road. Mm.
There is a bit, though, where he literally just goes through the different turnoffs for, like, a motorway.
Yeah.
That was Grant Holt's favourite section. Grant Holt, in his book, Ivo, lists his top five favourite service stations. So.
No, but I mean, but again, I have no problem with saying what your favourite service station is and why you like it, because that gives you a lovely insight. Just listing places that you could turn off to,
yes.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh. He does a bit at the very start as well, where he just goes through every station that is between Bradford Interchange and Manchester Victoria.
Yep. But I think he's proving the point that he can still remember them to this day because they were such an integral part of his young football career.
Google is a thing.
Yeah, okay. You're right. There's no need to actually list them. Yep. Fair play.
It's the thing is, again, it's one of those things which is incredibly endearing but also bad.
Tash, did you enjoy this bit?
Because, great description, I mean, of the book.
Yeah. There was a lot of references to northern towns, and I know how keen you are always to get more northern stuff on the show.
Always.
Peggy, you don't...
I mean, he calls out Hebden Bridge once, which I was quite pleased. Yeah. We don't get much press, so I was quite keen to see that. And
nice.
Lots of mention of Halifax. I can imagine he enjoys the Peace Hall, so I bet he's thrilled with the rejuvenation of that.
Okay, sure. We can.
I think he refers to people being. Doesn't he refer to people being like hung in Halifax?
Yeah.
If I just remember the gibbet or the gibbet or something.
Yeah, he does.
Never mind.
Hung in that way.
Yeah,
hanged.
Yeah, oh, hanged. Sorry.
I thought as opposed to well having two penises. That's literally what I thought you meant. What? When's that in the book? Well, let's move on to out of context. Neil Redfern. Has everyone got an out of context quote for me, Tash? Kick us off, please.
We'd set off like the clappers, then collapse in a heap. That soonest was a fit dog, all right.
Very good. Jack?
He later became a postman in Clackheaton.
Who? We'll never know. My out of context was, I just remember feeling sorry for the horses because I understood what they were going through.
Oh, that one down too! Yes, I love that!
Lovely. Which is, to be fair, part of an interesting angle on how they had to run around Doncaster Racecourse.
Don't give the context away!
Oh, sorry, no context. Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I've literally undermined the very point of no context in your road. Okay, well, here's mine. It was like trying to play in high heels, although, of course, I've never actually worn a pair of high heels.
I love that bit so much.
Yeah.
Because also, he's a very, like, throughout the book, he's a very progressive guy, but that bit to be like, oh, just so you know, I've never worn high heels, is very, like...
Not even to a costume party. Yeah.
Out of curiosity,
I do think he is. I think there are nice little bits of sort of showy progressiveness.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that. I think he's moved with the times. I've now followed him on Twitter, and obviously,
oh shit, he's got Twitter.
Yeah,
oh,
Twitter, but it's good.
It's good Twitter.
I love a present day Neil Redfern. I wish he'd had. Obviously, he is working. I wish he'd gone a bit higher up the pyramid as a manager. Because that's kind of where the book ends, is him like really starting to envision it and doing, going to Warwick University to get his badges and stuff. And like,
yes.
He really does seem to sort of know what he's doing. But
that's still time. He's still quite young, I guess, managerial to manager-wise. He's still, I guess. Actually, you raised a good point, because we haven't really dwelled much on the Premier League era for him. Because, of course, he played for Bradford, Barnsley and Charlton.
Yeah,
in the Premier League. Well, I don't think he really even dwells in it in that much.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, there's nothing really that he talks about. I mean, Barnsley is the big bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he scored 10 goals from central midfield in the Premier League that season, which is very good.
He actually says, like, I think I was the best central midfielder in the league.
That doesn't surprise
that
me he said that.
But it's amazing, because he sort of says, like, I think this, and I'm like, that's a ridiculous thing to say. And then he kind of, like, justifies it. And like, he scores 10 goals, and he's playing for Barnsley. You're like, yeah, I suppose that is fair enough. You could say that you are the best.
To be honest, though, he makes so many claims in this book, I didn't check a single one, so he could talk a load of absolute crap, and I would have no idea.
He actually only played he made 400 appearances. It's amazing how he's rounded that up.
He loved getting substituted. He would 3 minutes in, he'd be going.
He hated being shaken. As someone who's more of a lower league football fan than a Premier League football fan, he says, for the hipster points, it will inevitably ensue. It's the Barnsley promotion season, which is the most romantic and great, and like a team that's never been in the Premier League before. And I went on some Barnsley fan forums after this, and it's so funny to remember. Obviously, they never made it to the top flight again, and it petered out a bit. But like Redders, as they all exclusively call him, is basically undisputed people's favourite Barnsley player ever, apart from people who were, you know, sort of 50 or 60 and want to prove that they're that old because they're naming someone from the 70s. But basically anyone under the age of like 40, it's like, it's obviously Neil Redfern. So this is, you know, that's Barnsley amazing. Might not be the most glamorous club in the world, but he is their greatest ever player.
Wow.
He wasn't just part of a team.
To be honest, a friend of mine, he said how much he's a Barnsley fan. He's one of those fans who supports Barnsley and Liverpool. But don't hate people like that, Jack. Don't hate people who support two teams.
And me.
Neil Redfern is a legend there. I guess it's him and, I don't know, Bruce Dyer, people like that. Georgie Hristov. Yeah,
certainly not Georgie Hristov.
Yes. Yeah.
Slagged off Barnsley women.
Yes.
And clearly didn't. It's clearly a mistranslated Macedonian interview.
Oh,
don't start Tash on this. Don't start Tash on this subject. We discussed this in Chris Gamara.
Oh,
it is not worth getting into at this moment.
Tash, what does... And can I say Chris Gamara as a Swindon legend...
Was
one of the autobiographies that I didn't want to read. It's like, I'm not going to be slagging off Chris Kamara's autobiography.
We were very nice to him. We were very nice.
Were
there cancelable moments in the Kamara autobiography?
Not that we mentioned. There, the book kind of comes to an end after with a lot more, even more journeymaning, to be honest. He kind of goes to clubs like... Oh, where does he go to, guys?
Halifax,
Bradford Park, Scarborough, all those kind of places.
There's a really cute bit leagues. Where he says he doesn't want his 1,000th game to be something crap, so he's really glad that it's Bradford Park versus Solihull, which I thought was really cute.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I know what you mean.
His dream is to go and be a coach, and then you see what he's gone to achieve, and all he wanted was to be able to buy M&S and Next clothes and become a football coach. And I think he's managed all of them. I checked his pictures on Twitter and he looks like he's wearing Next. So, yeah.
Oh, that's good. He's still in Next. Cool. Nice. That is kind of... I guess that's a happy way to end the show.
Yeah, it's cute. Yes.
Overall, did the book change you? Ivo?
Well, I hadn't really thought very much about Neil Redfern for about 20 years. And... I've thought about him pretty solidly for a week, so you know it's changed me in that sense. It's redefined like being a journeyman, which I think we continue to use in what's to me an offensive way, because ultimately he's just a guy taking jobs that are appropriate to his age and you know
skill
and
set.
The job market at the time,
yeah.
And his skill set brackets legs brackets going a bit like. So I respect it. I respect him a lot. I think he. He includes details which are a little bit tedious at times, such as how he'll always mention how a journey is 2 hours, but it's like 2.5 hours in rush hour. It's like, you don't need to say that journeys take longer in rush hour, and he does that about 4 times. He calls himself Neil Redfern so many times in the book when he could just say me, and that smacks a little bit of an ego, but particularly when he becomes a player manager and he's talking about two different Neil Redferns, it's actually quite confusing at times. But... I think he's a sweet guy. He loves his dogs. He loves his cat. He loves his wife. He loves his daughters. And he loves a lot of football clubs, especially Barnsley. Fair play to him.
That is the most beautiful summary of Neil Redfern's career. A beautiful eulogy. Tash, did you enjoy the book?
I really did. It did change me. My only upset in the whole book was at the same time I was reading Elton's autobiography. And Elton got a shout out.
Elton John?
Yeah. Elton got a shout out in Neil's, but Neil did not get a shout out in Elton's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Slab.
So,
slab. Is there a lot of Watford in Elton's book?
Quite a bit, yeah. And Neil does not get a look in.
Yeah, but to be fair, he's not saying...
It would be fundamentally bizarre.
He's no gift to Noel Williams. I'm guessing appears all the way through Elton John's book. Doesn't mention Rocket Man once, but gift to Noel Williams comes up twice.
Elton John says, I received 30 transfer requests in the year 1996 or 1983. I couldn't believe how much it must have been costing the guy.
Jack, did the book change you?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, when I first got it, the thing I found the most funny about it was its title, which is on the front cover, it is The Ups, There's Only One Neil Redfern, and Downs of My Football.
Yeah, that is a typography error, yeah.
Which is a real typography error. But I really grew an appreciation for him, to be honest. I didn't, and he's one of those people that straddles the Premier League and the old era in a really interesting way.
That's great. I feel. I said it earlier. I did enjoy it, I guess. And overall, I'll give it a 6 because I always give it a 7. And I didn't actually enjoy it quite as much as I said. I'm afraid I lied. I didn't mean for that to be such a bombshell moment, but I'm going to give it a 6. Ivo, what would you give it out of 10?
Guys, listen. I don't believe that Neil Redfern is God, but I believe that Neil Redfern is good. And so I'm going to give the book 8 out of 10.
Very good. Very good. 14. Tash, what did you give it?
I think I'm going to give it a 7.
Good. Very good. Jack?
I'm going to go 8. I'm going to go 8 as well.
So 29, that's 7.25. Yeah.
Are they all 7.25?
No, they've all been 7.5 so far. Yeah. We need to become more varied. We're too easily impressed. All of us are way too easily impressed by these books.
There were numbers on the book side. There was a cover.
Oh, it had a spine.
It had a spine.
Oh, we haven't done Ken's song yet. So basically, Ivo, our mate Ken comes on every week and gives us a chant about a footballer long since retired that no one can sing. First week we had Just Give It to Rio Coca to the tune of Livin' La Vida Loca. Lovely. We have Michael Dewberry to Dub Be Good to Me. And this one's another midfielder who made his name in Yorkshire to the tune of Robbie's She's the One. I guess I'll sing it. I can't really sing it, copyright reasons. I'll go into it. Though the league may be strong, you know we'll carry on, because we've got somebody driving us on. Michael Tong. We've got somebody driving us on. Everybody,
Michael Tong.
Everyone remember Michael Tong?
Yeah.
Didn't think I'd be thinking about him again in this context, but great. Yeah.
It was quite solemn. I quite enjoyed it. It was like a hymn.
Yeah. That's just my voice.
Yes. Have more hymns
that
on
was
this
some
show.
Hard classical chant. For the quiz this week, you're all named after important stages in Neil's life. So Ivo, you're Neil Redfern, the player. Tash, you're Neil Redfern, the coach. And Jack, you're Neil Redfern in Huddersfield McDonald's. So when you know the answer, shout out your christened name.
What am I again? Neil Redfern, the player.
You're Neil Redfern, the player. Tash, Neil Redfern, the manager. Jack, Neil Redfern, Huddersfield McDonald's. Question number one. Which celebrities did Neil and Oldham release the FA Cup song Boys in Blue with?
Oh, Neil Redfern, the Huddersfield, in the Huddersfield McDonald's. Oh, God, it's hard.
He got there eventually, yep.
Cannon and Ball.
Is correct.
God, that's good.
Yes. One. And apparently it was rubbish.
Yes, he did say that.
Of course it was.
Yeah. No surprise there. Question number two. What accolade does Neil Redfern win in his time at Scarborough?
Redfern Player of the Year.
What? Wait, hang on. Player of the Year.
Oh, sorry. Neil Redfern is a player, and he wins the Scarborough Evening News' second best player of the season.
That is exactly it, which is an incredible best. I can't remember the content. It's something like, some people probably didn't say good. Well, I'd have to say the people at Scarborough Evening News would disagree with that. Chris and me, they're second best player of the year.
Yeah. I was never going to get first, you know.
Question number three. What is his Barnsley teammate Arjan de Zeeu's nickname?
The Huddersfield McDonald's.
I think Ivo got in there first.
No. Jack is hampered by a more complicated nom de plume.
That's very
just
kind
say
of
McDonald's.
You. Jack?
Chester. Was it Chester?
It's Chester.
Yes.
Surely the nickname, I thought this should be Chess, but like as in Chester Zoo. Rather than Chester Zoo to Zoo. Better. I'm not trying to be all like, Redders need to get a comedy writer in. But like, I don't really get it. Anyway, it's no one size fits all. There we go.
That's very true. Definitely no one has got. So another point to Jack. And finally, question number four. How much was Neil's favourite meal, which is a Morrison's ready-made pasta salad, in the year 2006?
Redfern the player.
Yes.
£1.50.
Very good.
And he says that it's cheaper than some sandwiches or something.
I love that so much. Like, you egg mayonnaise is sure, they'll be cheaper. But, you know. Yeah.
Jack and Ivor both got two on that. So I'm going to do a tiebreaker. I never do that. Whoever gets in the first wins this. Tiebreak question. Who does Neil Redfern describe as the best player he played against?
Not David Beckham.
Not David Beckham is correct. I'll give you a clue. Chelsea.
Chester Zoo. Not Chester Zoo. Sorry. Redfern the player. Sorry, Jack. I feel like I've taken it away from you.
It's
Gianfranco Zola.
It is Gianfranco Zola. Ivo, congratulations. You won your inaugural quiz with us. Well done, Ivo. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Ivo. You've been absolutely brilliant.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
You're welcome back any time. Next week, we'll be reading Gary and Phil Neville's For Club and Country. which we can't wait for. If you've read that or any book we've read so far, or you're planning on reading any of them, get in touch. Or get in touch about anything, to be honest. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club, and on Facebook. Guys, any last words?
I believe in good.
Yeah. I believe in good. We all believe in good.
Yeah, hashtag Sheridan out for the Swindon fans. And also hashtag Sheridan's brother, pay back your petrol money.
Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Ivo Graham, Natasha Daniels, and Jack Bernhardt. It was created by James Bug and it was a Crowd production. Thanks to Neil for writing the book, but where are they all now? Well, Neil has since retired and after a brief stint as Leeds manager, now manages Sheffield United Women. However, sadly, his McDonald's gold card expired in 1999. Nigel Clough went on to play for Liverpool and gained 14 caps for England, classic nepotism. Elton John released a revised edition of his autobiography with a whole chapter dedicated to Neil. The Barnsley Supporters Club Bar is still a pretty cool place to be, and Morrison's pasta salad now costs a whopping £2. Thanks a lot, inflation. The theme music, Hills Behind, the work of Silent Partner, is used in the Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll see you next week for a book by both the Nevilles, so see you then. And in the meantime, please leave us a nice review. Go on, we know you have the podcast player open anyway.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.